Numbers 16, verses 1 to 22. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. One day, Korah, son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben. They incited a rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders of the community, all prominent members of the assembly. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" When Moses heard what they were saying, he fell face down on the ground. Then he said to Korah and his followers, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who is holy. The Lord will allow only those whom he selects to enter his own presence. Korah, you and all your followers must prepare your incense burners. Light fires in them tomorrow and burn incense before the Lord. Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy one. You Levites are the ones who have gone too far." Then Moses spoke again to Korah. "Now listen, you Levites. Does it seem insignificant to you that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all the community of Israel to be near him so you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and stand before the people to minister to them? Korah, he has already given this special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Are you now demanding the priesthood as well? The Lord is the one you and your followers are really revolting against. For who is Aaron that you are complaining about him?" Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they replied, "We refuse to come to you before you. Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in the wilderness, and that you now treat us like your subjects? What's more, you haven't brought us into another land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us a new homeland with fields and vineyards. Are you trying to fool these men? We will not come." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not accept their grain offerings. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, and I have never hurt a single one of them." And Moses and said to Korah, "You and all your followers must come here tomorrow and present yourselves before the Lord. Aaron will also be here. You and each of your 250 followers must prepare an incense burner and put incense on it, so you can all present them before the Lord. Aaron will also bring his incense burner." So each of these men prepared an incense burner, lit the fire, and placed incense on it. Then they all stood at the entrance of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron. Meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron, and they all gathered at the tabernacle entrance. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Get away from these people so that I may instantly destroy them." But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. "O God," they pleaded, "you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins?"
Bless the Lord, everyone. Thank you, Joanne, for reading that scripture. Powerful scripture that we have before us. And I was saying to Pastor Dennis when I was going over the scripture, I said that I've read this passage for 20 years and have not seen it in this particular way. And so the title the topic and what we're going to look at is leadership looks easy until you have to lead. leadership looks easy until you have to lead. This word for me has caused kind of great reflection and repentance, and I think any good messenger will first kind of repent and kind of reflect deeply on the word that God wants them to kind of bring before his people. And so we find ourselves in Numbers 16, and a couple of chapters before, if we remember, the spies, 12 spies, went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And if you remember, Joshua and Caleb were the only people that kind of came back with good report, and the other 10 said that we could not overcome, that we could not overtake it, and actually that there were giants in the land, and they stirred up not just necessarily rebellion but doubt and fear in the camp, and God had become weary and tired with the children of Israel at this point. And he said to Moses that not one of them, so those who are the adults who are alive right now, are going to set foot into the land of Canaan except their servants Joshua and Caleb. And so now when we get to Numbers 16, there is already discontent in the camp. There's already rumblings of fear and unhappiness in the camp. There's already murmurings against Moses and Aaron in the camp. And so we find now the Bible talks about how that Korah, who was a Levite, conspired or came together with Dathan and Abiram to try and instigate a leadership change. If we remember, Korah, who was a Levite, they are charged with the responsibilities of the articles of the tabernacle. And what that meant is that depending on the family you were of in the Levites, you are responsible for various different areas, whether it's in the holy place or it's in the outer court or the inner court. You are responsible for breaking up or taking down or for handling the various different articles in the tabernacle, meaning that their work was in the very presence of God. Dathan and Abiram, who were Reubenites, who remember were the eldest son, Reuben was the oldest son of Jacob, so they were a prominent tribe. So you have these three men led by Korah, who believed that there needed to be a leadership change. They believed that Moses and Aaron weren't doing a good job. And what they said here in verse 3 was particularly interesting. They said that actually, Moses, it is the whole community that is set apart by God. Actually, Moses, we all have the Holy Spirit. We all have gifts. We all can preach and teach. We all can speak in tongues. We all have the gift of healing, Moses. Who are you to say that you should be leader over all of us? You have gone too far. You don't know what you're doing. Who are you to tell us what to do? Who are you to tell us to come out of Egypt and to go to this land that we don't know of yet? And I want us to draw our attention to the difference between gifting and calling. Because there's a big difference between just because you were gifted doesn't mean that you were called to do a particular thing. Just because you can preach better than the pastor, it doesn't mean that you are meant to be the pastor. Just because you have the gift of prophecy doesn't mean that you are called to be a prophet in the church. Just because you're a better teacher than your small group leader doesn't mean that you're meant to be the leader of that small group. God is a God of order. And just because you are gifted, it doesn't mean you're anointed to do that particular function at that particular time. And so we have to be careful that we are not impressed by people's gifting, because gifts are given without repentance. But we should be more impressed by people's character, by being impressed by their sacrifice. We should be impressed by their fruit, because it's their fruits you shall know them, Jesus said. It's the fruit that will last. It's the fruit that will come through the fire of test. And so Moses' first reaction then was to bring it back to God and not himself. In his mind, he said, I'm going to allow God to settle this. And so the first leadership lesson that we have, and if you're writing, if you're making notes, I want you to write these down. The first leadership lesson that we have is, if God has placed you there, only God can remove you. If God has placed you in a particular position, giving you a particular authority, only he himself can remove you. Sometimes we waste a lot of time trying to fight challenges to our authority or the leadership. But if we believe that God has the one who has given it to us, then he will give it to us. And this is why Moses was secure in his position, because he knew at the end of the day, God will vindicate him. And sometimes, as we will see, he will do it in a public demonstration. Or sometimes he will do it in private. Sometimes he will speak to that person or individuals in private, or sometimes he will publicly humiliate them. Either way, it is God who is fighting the battle and not us. One thing that this also brings to my attention is that we have to be careful of envy and jealousy. We can see that Korah and his two guys were envious and jealous of Moses and Aaron's gifting. It is actually scary that Korah was doing his work in the very presence, in the very tabernacle, in church. But envy and jealousy will mask the blessing, will mask the glory right in front of you, and will cause you to chase after things which will cause you to fall, which will cause you to die. Envy will cause hatred without reason and fear without cause. And so I began to ask myself and look at myself, when were the areas or when were the times when I felt envious or jealous of someone or something? And it was always at the time when there was a lack of contentment in my own life. Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says that we, with food and clothing, we will be content, because those who chase after money falls into various or diverse issues or pangs or errors. Lack of contentment in this situation caused death of thousands. So when your fulfillment comes from achievements or promotions or money or goals, rather than knowing God, rather than growing in him, rather than building his kingdom, rather than seeing his church grow, it is easy to fall into discontentment. Korah was ministering in the very presence of God. He was ministering in the very presence of God. He was teaching. He was an elder. He was important. Moses brings his attention to it. He says, does it seem insignificant to you that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all of the community of Israel to be near him, so that you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before him? He has already given this special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Envy and jealousy can cause us to despise the very blessings that God has given us. In fact, that we diminish the very blessings of God whenever we feel jealous or envious. The writer of Hebrews talks about that we must be careful with the root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness springs forth from jealousy and envy. Korah was in the very presence of God, and yet he missed it totally, because he thought that he was meant to be the leader when already he was a leader. That's why we have to be careful. Leadership looks easy until you have to lead. Sometimes we don't know what people go through to get to what they've got. Many of us are not willing to make the sacrifice to get to where they have got to. Are we willing to be in the wilderness for 40 years? Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. He was a prince, and then he went to become a shepherd for 40 years. David went from being a shepherd to being Saul's right-hand man, to being on the run, to being hunted down as a dirty dog. We don't, sometimes there's a lot of things that we, when we look at people who are in leadership positions, whether it's in the home, whether it's at work, whether it's in church, but we don't know behind closed doors what they have had to do to get there. Leadership looks easy until we pull away the curtain. It looks easy until leaders reveal their scars, or they reveal their pain, or they talk about their depression. It looks easy until you have to lead. So leadership lesson number two, leadership is not what you do in public, but what you do in private. It's the challenges within yourself, the awkward conversations that you have to have with various different people. It's praying for those who were cursing your wife behind your back. It's ministering to those who were speaking ill of your kids just the other day. It's rushing to people's aid when you know they hate you. If you can't say that in your heart that you can do these things, maybe you're not ready to be a leader just yet. Leadership is easy until you have to lead. David and Abiram refused to meet with Moses. Ultimate disrespect in the camp. Their excuse: Moses was a fake. He's a liar. He can't be trusted. Bearing in mind, the excuse that they used, they said they were in a land flowing with milk and honey. They were in slavery. They compared slavery to milk and honey. What do you do then when people are lying about you in your face in front of the church? How do you react? How do you lead in that environment? When it came to see whose offering would be accepted, Korah and his followers now had stirred up the whole community against Moses. And so now we're in a situation now, what do you do then when the whole church has come to see you fail? How do you lead in that environment? How do you pray in that environment? How do you fast in that environment? How do you minister to the people who you're meant to be leading in that environment when the people that you're meant to be leading doesn't want you there? This is a classic church split scenario. And yet Moses is keeping it focused on God. So what happens? They bring their sacrifices to the front of the tabernacle. And Yahweh says to Moses, get away from these people because I'm going to kill them. And what do Moses and Aaron do? In the face of all of this, in the face of being rejected, in the face of people challenging them upright in their face, in the face of people lying about them, in the face of all of this, as soon as Moses and Aaron hear that God wants to kill the children of Israel, what do they do? What's the first thing they do? They intercede. And so leadership lesson number three, unless you're ready to die on behalf of the people who you lead, you're not ready to be a leader. Unless you are ready to die on behalf of the people who you lead, you are not ready to be a leader. Leadership is more about giving than receiving. It's more about sacrifices than offering. David went after the lion and the bear because they stole his sheep. Are we willing to go into the jaws of the lion and the bear and take out the sheep on behalf of someone else, knowing that we could die? Are we willing to take bullets for someone in our team who's made a major mistake but we know that we'll be okay, but if they were to do it, then they might get fired. Are we willing to stand in the gap when our husband or our wife has said something so hurtful to your family members, and we then have to stand in that gap and be that person to take those bullets? Because if we're not willing to do those things, then maybe we're not willing to be a leader just yet. Maybe we're not at the place just yet to be a leader. Maybe we're not there yet. Because unless you are willing to die just like Jesus Christ, the Bible says that although that the man is the head of the home, the man should love the wife as Christ loved the church. The man should be willing to die for his wife as Christ died for the church. If you're not willing to die for your wife, then maybe you're not ready for to be a husband yet. If you're not willing to sacrifice and to mortify the deeds of the flesh, then maybe you're not willing, you're not marriage material just yet. If you're not willing to sacrifice and to die daily, then maybe you're not ready to lead people just yet. Because people, as we see, will hurt you. People, my favorite saying is, people are people. People will hurt you. People will love you the one day, and then they will curse you the next day. Maybe we're not willing to lead just yet. Paul. And so, as Moses is interceding. And really, it's the whole chapter we're going to go through, but I didn't want to read all of it. Moses says, and what's interesting is that Moses says from verses 25 downwards, he says that, look, guys, if move away from Korah and Dathan and Abiram, get away from them. And then he says to the children of Israel, he said, look, if these guys die a natural death, then I am not meant to lead you. I have no authority. However, if the earth opens up and swallows them up, then you know that God has sent me. What's interesting, it's not God that said this. Moses now is prophesying. And just before, even before he finishes that word, ground opens up and swallows Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and his family. Why did God do this? He did it to show that Moses had the authority to lead the children of Israel. And this is why we have to be careful who we fight against, because the person who you're fighting against might be the person that God has called, and therefore now you are fighting against God. Paul thought that the Christians were his enemies. Paul thought that the Christians were his enemies. And we all know how that story ended with Paul on the road of Damascus being blinded and being humbled. And Paul consistently reminding himself in his writings that he was a sinner, most miserable. The person who you think is your enemy may not be your enemy. How do we know that manager that you don't get on with is not there to keep you humble, to keep you from sinning, to show you what's inside of you, to show you that maybe you need more patience, to show you that maybe you need more love, you need more temperance, or how do you know that these people who you see that in front of you, so-called in front of you, are not there because God has placed them there for you? Not everyone who appears to be against you is actually against you. And not everyone who appears to be for you is for you, as we've seen in the Bible. What's scary then, what happens after that? So after the children of Israel witness the ground opening up and literally swallowing three families, the Bible says that the next morning the people complained against Moses. And this time God had lost his mind. He lost his mind. He said, you know what? I've had enough. I'm gonna destroy them. Moses and Aaron start to intercede again. And what Moses tells Aaron to do, he says, Aaron, take the incense burner from the altar, which represents the prayers of the people. And he says, run to the people and purify them. Aaron, verse 48 says, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. Aaron literally stood between death and life. It's a leadership lesson number four. As a leader, you stand in the gap between the vision and the reality. You stand in the gap between the promised land and the wilderness, the here and now and what God has promised, between the pain we face right now and the promises of God, between death and sickness and healness and wellness. And sometimes even the leader becomes dismayed with reality. We have to pray for them. Because as a leader, we have to understand and manage that tension, that even though right now things don't look as they seem, but God has said it is well. And until we walk into that manifestation, we have to hold the tension between the reality of what it is now and the vision that God has promised us. That although right now I might be poor, God has said that he is going to make me well. He's going to give me contentment. He's going to ensure that he's going to give me everything that I need. Even though business might not be looking well right now, God has said that it's going to be okay. We have to manage, stand in the gap between the vision that God has said, told us. Moses said to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt that God will bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. And consistently throughout his journey, he continually had to repeat the vision. So therefore, if you're a leader, you consistently have to repeat the vision to the people who you're leading, but at the same time, be honest enough about the reality that you stand in. Because the children of Israel did enter into the promised land. They did enter into a land flowing with milk and honey. They did conquer. And sometimes they conquered without even having to fight. Sometimes they conquered by worship. And they did overcome. Jesus promised, he said that I came to give life and life more abundantly. He said that I came to heal the sick and to rescue the downtrodden and to be with the fatherless. He has given us this ministry of reconciliation, which therefore means that we are all leaders. It means that we're all called. It means that we're all to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It means that we all then have to hold our stand in the gap between the vision and the reality. It means then that yes, we might be persecuted right now. The Bible says that I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you are blessed. Hallelujah. That I will walk with you. If God then has given us this ministry of reconciliation, if God then has said to us that I know that your family is going through pain right now because of sickness, because of cancer, but it is well that you will be healed, if not in this life, but the next. We then have to ensure that we are displaying these leadership qualities. We then have to ensure that we don't become overcome or overwhelmed with the reality. Because it is easy to do so. And sometimes we will. And this is why it's the importance of having accountability groups or having people that you can pray with. Because sometimes the reality is overwhelming. Even Moses needed Aaron. Even Moses got upset. We remember he struck the rock. Even Moses said that I've had enough of these people. Even Aaron said that I can't speak. Even Joshua said, even Paul said, we can go, even Elijah said, we can go through the whole Bible and we can see that at various different points, people became overwhelmed with the reality that they were in. But God always sent a word. God always sent a raven. God always reminded them of the vision. And sometimes when we are feeling overwhelmed, we have to remind ourselves of the vision. We have to remind ourselves that God is with us. We have to remind ourselves that the Lord is here. We have to remind ourselves that we are called and highly favored, that we are a peculiar people. We have to remind ourselves that although it is hard right now, if God has said it, He will do it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this word. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've shared. And God, I pray, Lord, that number one, that if there are those people who have not heeded the call to your name, who have not heeded the call to your kingdom, who have not heeded the call to being a son or a daughter of Christ, I pray, Father, that you bring them to your cross, Lord Jesus. The songwriter said, I'm in love. I love that old rugged cross, because it's at that rugged cross where I lay down my trophies and I will pick up a crown. Father, we pray for those who are struggling, who might be dealing with the reality right now, Lord Jesus, and they're trying to hold on to the vision, but they are losing grip of the vision. Father, I pray that you give them strength. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you send them someone to give them strength. Father, I ask, Lord God, that this word strengthen them, Lord God. Lord, I ask, Lord God, that for those of us, all of us who are born again, who are ambassadors of Christ, give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the confidence, Lord, to work in the ministry of reconciliation that you've given us, to bring people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you, Lord God, that we can be together again. In Jesus' name, amen.